go there.
You're going to have people walking in the background.
That's okay. Hi, my name is Jordy Izzard, and I'm an alumni relations officer at SICE, and I'm here today with Hope Simon Miller, class of 1946 from SICE, and today's date is April 8th, 2011, and I'm delighted to be here with you, and thanks so much.
Well, delighted to meet you.
Thanks. I'm
delighted that you're here in New York, and I can get to know you a little bit.
Well, thanks. And we're just going to have kind of a conversation today, and I'm going to ask you a few questions, and we'll kind of go down memory lane. So
good.
The first question I have is, what originally brought you to SICE?
It was an article on the op-ed page of the New York Times that said that this new school was being formed with money from big business and also some government money. And it sounded like a splendid partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought that I would apply for a fellowship. I had no idea of continuing graduate school at that time, but this school was so attractive to me that I tried, mm-hmm. got the fellowship, and attended.
Congratulations.
Then paid off the fellowship in later years.
Yeah, and where did you attend undergraduate?
Barnard College.
Mm-hmm. And were you doing work at Barnard that started to look at international affairs?
Well, they had a major that was international studies, and you could specialize in an area of the world that you chose. And I chose the Near East. And actually, it was Soviet Union and Near East, quite a major. And I was off and running.
Great. Well, and then SICE was lucky to have you. And what do you recall when you were at SICE? Anything related to professors or your friends or courses or languages or even historical events?
Yeah. Well, I think we must have been about 30 students, maybe 12 were women, 11 or 12 were women, something like that. Most of us lived at the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
I lived with four other women on the men's floor. That was fun, particularly in those days. I mean, it was you didn't live in the same building with the other sex anyway, so.
Mm-hmm.
That was great fun. Also, one of the professors, the one that started the campus in Italy, Seagrove Haynes, lived across the hall. And that was great.
Mm-hmm.
But I was impressed by the faculty.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we had class at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
At the moment, I'm embarrassed that his name escapes me, but there was a very hot issue about Iran and oil and so on up at the UN, and the professor that we had to have class at 7 or 7:30 and catch an early shuttle to be in New York on time, but it was worth it because we would get all the latest news, you know, hot off the press, even before it got into the press. But that was
fun.
The type of professor we had.
Uh-huh.
Really splendid.
Good.
So.
And then you were telling me at lunch today
yes.
that you took and specialized in four languages.
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, in those days, that was a requirement. If you wanted to graduate, you had to have a working knowledge of four languages. So there was English and French, Spanish and Russian.
Mm-hmm. And were you focused on Russian at that point?
Or? I was.
Yep, so you thought...
I was. And I continued the Russian while I was at SICE.
Uh-huh.
The others, no.
Well, you got a pretty good working knowledge of English.
Uh-huh, good. That was my second language.
That's great. And French was your first, right?
Yeah,
that's great. So then tell us a little bit about when you graduated from SICE in 1946. What started your career?
Mm-hmm. Well, I had thought that I would work at the State Department. I remember being warned by the dean of Barnard, remember, when you get out, you're going to start on the lowest rung. But Barnard students are very bright, and very quickly you'll be running the department. Well, it didn't happen quite like that. I was actually invited to a reception being held at the Wildenstein Art Galleries in New York. And I knew the accountant who called and said, we're having a reception for professors who want to put together a school in New York. It will be called the New School, which is, of course, an excellent school. And he said, you know, I only speak English, and you speak a few languages. Would you come? Because we're going to be stuck. And Mr. Wildenstein, I think, either had to go away or could only spend a couple of minutes. So I met a gentleman who was Russian, who lived in Paris and so on, and said, what are you doing? And this was actually, if I recall, it was during spring break. And he asked whether I'd be interested in working for him. That he was going to be working for the United Nations, and he had been charged with the responsibility of doing human rights evaluations all over the world, and do some reports on this. And he needed somebody, and since I had gone to Barnard College and he had an office not out in Lake Success like everybody else starting at UN, but up at Columbia University. So I knew very well where the office was going to be, and that was going to facilitate things. And I worked for him for about three and a half years, I think, mm-hmm. something like that.
Mm-hmm. And then what did you do next?
And then I met and married my husband, a gynecologist. We lived in Brooklyn. The commute was not easy. And I became pregnant, and then it was over summer. I became pregnant with a baby who eventually was a student at Saiz, mm-hmm. my oldest son, Lane. And it was just too hot, and I felt mm-hmm. that there was no air conditioning in the subway or anything. And so I got some work to do editing some papers for, I think his name was Raoul Aiglion, maybe he was an assistant or under secretary general, and I mm-hmm. did some work for him at home, though that was fine. And then I eventually went back to the UN when our youngest son, the third son, was able to go to school by himself. Mm-hmm. Then I was free and worked a couple of days a week at the United Nations Hospitality Committee, where they help the delegates and their wives get to know the city, mm-hmm. Get to know the country, and so on. And we were helpful in getting them apartments and all that kind of thing. But it was fascinating meeting all these people and becoming great friends with a number of them.
That's great.
So I'm still involved with them, mm-hmm. still very heavily involved with the UN.
Tell me some other parts of your career, because I know you've done a lot of things, and what else comes to mind?
Well, I got involved mostly with women and children. Mm-hmm. It started with UNICEF, mm-hmm. and we formed a group, and we ran the volunteer aspect of UNICEF in New York mm-hmm. for a few years. And then I got a call from the wife of the world president of UNICEF mm-hmm. Who said to me, you know, you cannot help the world's children if you don't help their mothers. So I would like you to come and work with the mothers of these children. Which meant working for a group called UNIFEM, the United Nations Development Fund for Women.
Mm-hmm. And is that's associated or affiliated with UNICEF?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, yes, of course. Mm-hmm. And then eventually, now recently, it has become part of UN Women, mm-hmm. which is run by Michelle Bachelet, who was former president of Chile. And she just started a few months ago. And all of us who are interested will be continuing, of course, with her.
Mm-hmm. Tell me about some highlights of your career. Enjoyable moments or people that you've met that have been of interest to you?
I don't know. I can only tell you it's all been fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't one aspect, it was another. An exciting part was at our 10th anniversary, we did a broadcast, I guess, from the delegates' dining room at the UN, and later a friend of mine told me he saw it on Swiss television. I was amazed. That was gratifying to hear that people knew that we were in existence. That was one of the highlights. And
can you tell me also, at different times you met Eleanor Roosevelt?
Yes.
You also met Hillary Clinton?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about those stories.
All right. Well, I met Eleanor Roosevelt when I was in college, and every Tuesday we had an assembly in the gym, and we would try to have somebody special come speak. And Eleanor Roosevelt was a great friend of Virginia Gildersleeve, who was Dean of Barnard at the time. And she came one day and she addressed the group. And prior to that, in the deanery, as it was called, the dean's apartment, eight of us had lunch together. So, and I sat next to Mrs. Roosevelt. I was very excited about that. And she spoke very well. Everybody was thrilled to hear her. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the highlights. And what was another part of your question?
Well, I think at a different moment
you asked
more
me
recently
about,
met Hillary Clinton.
About Hillary Clinton. Hillary Clinton, at one point when she was at the White House as Bill Clinton's wife, she and Madeleine Albright had invited supposedly, I'm even hesitant to say that, but supposedly 100 outstanding women to the White House, and they both addressed the group and so on, and that was very exciting, and of course there were pictures taken and so on. And I must say the next day I went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York, and I was in the trustees' dining room when a woman came up to me and said, "Excuse me, but weren't you at the White House yesterday?" Other people looked around, you know, thought, "Who is she?" So I said, "Yes, evidently she was too, excuse me." And then we did have, I was always interested in social things. I've always said I was only good as a party girl, but it was always, not usually, always for a good cause.
Mm-hmm.
So there was such a luncheon at the UN, and we had been trying to honor Hillary Clinton, and we couldn't get to a date that would be convenient for us, particularly. Mm-hmm. For Mrs. Clinton. And then I got a message. We had tried to honor her in New York at the State Department, in Washington at the State Department, but we also did annual luncheons in New York. And I got a call. "You've been trying to honor Mrs. Clinton, and she'll be in New York in 9-10 days, and would that be possible?" So we had a luncheon for her, and we were very excited to have her, and she certainly was very,
Hello.
Very
helpful. How are you?
Fine, and you?
Doing well.
She impressed everybody by her knowledge, her charm, and so on. And by now, anybody looking at this tape will know a lot about her. That's
and how about Madeleine Albright?
And Mrs. Albright came up also and on a similar occasion addressed the group. Mm-hmm. And I was so thrilled when she walked in. I must say, without thinking twice, I just gave her a big hug and kiss, which is how I ended up with Hillary Clinton, too. We gave her an award and came the big hug and kiss. But they're both marvelous in every way.
That's great. And I also know that you have maybe done some work with the Calhoun School. Do you know?
I attended the Calhoun School, and I had gone to public school, and they had a citywide competition, and I won a scholarship and went there.
That's great.
So, and from there went to Barnard.
Mm-hmm.
And I must say, and that's an important lesson learned, I did not want to stay in New York. I had a wonderful life at home with the family, but I thought it would be more fun to be away.
Mm-hmm.
And in those days, I wanted to go to Wellesley College. And I was refused on a religious basis. And that had caused, not only I was refused, others were, that I think it was in the Atlantic Monthly that there was a big article about the seven sister colleges and the prejudices there and how terrible it was. So the headmistress of the Calhoun School had gone to Barnard. She said, Barnard is for you. And I thought, oh no, that means I'll have to study morning, noon, and night, because I was maybe a B plus A minus student, but I was sure that that wouldn't be good enough for Barnard. Well, I went to Barnard and decided this was my last year in New York, that I was going to transfer to Wellesley. The letter had said if I got good marks and so on and so forth. I actually got better marks and they still didn't take me. But I went to Barnard, and since that was, I thought, my last year in New York, I decided to do everything that I sang in the Glee Club. Of course, I attended class. I did all sorts of things. I stood at the opera. Mm-hmm. The seat I could afford was way, way up, too far up, so it was better to stand. I stood in Carnegie Hall. We didn't have Lincoln Center yet. Stood for concerts. I had a marvelous time just doing things morning, noon, and night. Well, that was a great lesson. And at the end of the year, I decided, you know, this is great. Also, war broke out. Mm-hmm. Nobody had dates, and it was very sad. But up at Columbia, we had the Midshipman School. We could have all the dates we wanted. It was great. It was a good lesson learned, and I had a much more interesting time at Barnard than I thought, and of course, scholastically, it was excellent.
Mm-hmm.
And then eventually, it was Virginia Gildersleeve, who had been the dean of Barnard, who encouraged me to go to SAIS.
Mm-hmm.
She thought that sounded like the right school. So
well, we're
it was
glad
brand
you were,
new.
We're glad you were there. And
thank
tell
you.
Me where SAIS took you in terms of your travels.
Where SAIS took me?
Yeah, like when you, in your career, did you travel to any interesting places?
Well, I traveled for UNIFEM. Mm-hmm. I traveled a great deal.
Mm-hmm.
And I became president of the U.S. committee. And had that position for about 10 years. So every 2 years we met in a different part of the world, whether it was Moscow or Barcelona or Manila or Beijing. We went all over the place and it was absolutely fascinating. We made wonderful friends.
That's great.
And that was really very, very exciting.
Any one country stand out for you?
No.
No.
No. I can't think of one that I did not like or find very interesting. One that I liked better than the rest. I had been brought up bilingually in French. That's not good English, but anyway. So, of course, I would feel more at home in France and French part of Switzerland, mm-hmm. but outside of that. And my children are all bilingual in French, so.
Mm-hmm. So, you've had a lot of wonderful experiences in your career, and they're mm-hmm. still going on.
Oh, absolutely.
You're still very active. Tell me, as you continue in your career, what advice, if any, would you have for current students at SAIS today?
Well, when I attended, you had to have a working knowledge of four languages, and I have found that very, very, very important. Mm-hmm. Very important. And my children, of course, are bilingual in French, but they, you know, have felt that sorry that they didn't study more with them. It's been those two languages. That's been terrific. Of course, if you're at UN, you know, and you can speak another language, that's a big help.
Mm-hmm. So learn as many languages as possible.
Well, I think so. Mm-hmm.
What about, is there anything else that you would impart? Or do you see SAIS today as giving them the same opportunities, or is the world different, or are things pretty much the same?
Well, from what I hear, I think that they're doing an excellent job, and some of their students have spent the summers in other parts of the world, and I think that internship program is excellent. I think that's very, very important. Mm-hmm. And I'm told that, of course, many of them learn the local language. So, though that may not be a language spoken by that many people, the local language is, that's certainly an important language for them to have learned.
Great. So. Well, that's excellent. And I just want to thank you so much for all you have done and you are doing. To make the world a better place, and I'm very lucky to have been able to spend today with you, and I enjoyed meeting you.
Well, it certainly is mutual, and I look forward to seeing you again next time you're...
And thanks so much for your time, and we're so glad to have heard your stories today.
Well, great pleasure.
Thanks.
Stay in touch.
All right.
Okay.